Good morning and welcome to the Sunday School for today. Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, 45 Church Street, Piedmont, Tunnel Springs, Alabama, 36471. Telephone number is 251-564-2171. The church where everybody is somebody and Christ is the head. Reverend Waylon Olive is our pastor. Sister Joyce Oliver is our first lady. Our clerk is Ms. Lisa Stalwart. Sunday School is every Sunday morning. Normally it's at 9:30 a.m., but we joined it on Facebook here for the past several minutes due to COVID-19, and we hope you've been tuning in to our Sunday School lesson on the church website as well as on Facebook. Our worship service is on 2nd, 4th, and 5th Sundays, usually at 11 a.m., but we'll be doing service in late due to COVID-19 at 8:30 in the morning, being broadcast by Brother Corey Robinson, our musician. Today is the fifth Sunday, and services will be parking lot services, and Reverend Oliver will bring the message. We want to thank all of you that have been joining us over the past several months as we continue to bring you the Word of God through Pastor Oliver and through the Sunday School, the Superintendent, yours truly, Freddie Howard. Our subject for today, lesson is Unit 3, The Call of Women. This is the winter quarter of 2021. Devotional reading is Joel, the second chapter, 28 through the 32nd verse. The lesson is number 9 for January the 31st, 2021. And the background scripture is Luke, the second chapter, 36 through 38 verse. Acts, the first chapter, verses 12 through 14. Acts, the second chapter, 16 through 21st. And the 21st chapter of Acts, 8th and 9th verse. The print passage is Luke, the second chapter, 36 through 38 verse. Acts, the second chapter, 16 through 21st verse. And Luke's 21st chapter, 8th through the 9th verse. Our key verse for today: it shall come to pass in the days, said God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams. Acts, the second chapter, and the 17th verse. The big subject for today: women speak out. Women speak out. As a result of experiencing this lesson, the participants should be able to do these things: examine how God called and empowered women to proclaim his message; affirm the contributions of godly women to the church's mission; advocate for greater recognition of God's call women and the church. Key terms for today is dreams, that's a vision; prayers, supplication, entreats, praying; prophecy, to foretell, predict, speak forth by divine inspiration; prophetess, females who declare or interpret oracles, a female prophetess; redemption, in the Old Testament, reasoning from imprisonment for debt or from slavery, release from national and misfortune and so forth; liberation, deliverance, release; servants, slaves, persons who are enslaved; widow, a woman whose husband has died. All right, let us begin. Why this lesson matters: all people have unique purposes in life. How do we affirm each individual's purpose? Throughout the scripture, we find numerous examples of women responding to God's call. The lesson in focus: for many generations, certain tasks in the church have been designed according to gender. The assignment of ministry roles in the church is a long debated topic that has only recently begun to receive a form of balance. Despite the gender differences and sometimes biases, we can easily identify women who made great contributions throughout history. This is true in the African-American culture, generally American society, various civilizations throughout the world as a whole. While we affirm equality between the sexes, we often continue to struggle with what this means. This struggle, which is often internal, can cause conflicts and miscommunication within relationships, particularly regarding expectations and perceived responsibilities to and from one another. Gender perceptions may vary between cultures and even among families within the same community and culture. As we grow in the world and in serving God, we should prioritize hearing the truth no matter who tells it. We desire the truth of the word even when it disagrees with long-held traditions or practices. The lesson in context. While we often equate prophecy with foretelling the future, the job of the biblical prophets was to speak forth the words of God, often prefaced with the word, "Thus said the Lord." See Exodus the 9th chapter, the 13th verse, Joshua the 2nd chapter, the 13th verse, 1 Kings 11 to 31, 2 Kings 9, 3, 1 Chronicles 17, 7, and 2 Chronicles 11 and 4. Today's church has a limited understanding of the role of prophetic ministries, often confining it to a supernatural ability to declare the future by the power of God rather than to speak a timely word from God. Biblical prophets spoke messages from God of warnings, repentance, instructions, and hope throughout biblical history. God called and anointed both men and women to stand in the fivefold ministries office of the prophets alongside pastors, teachers, apostles, and evangelists. Most believers are well acquainted with the male prophets, but not as familiar with female prophets like Deborah, Huldah, Isaiah's wife Anna, and the daughter of Philip. Peter wrote that the prophets were empowered to speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, 2 Peter 1 and 21. Anna is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew name Hannah, meaning grace or divine favor. Ironically, the contents of Anna's prophecy concerning the birth of Jesus bore similarities to Hannah's song at the birth of her son and prophet Samuel. See 1 Samuel, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 10. What are your thoughts on women in ministry? Do you believe that God can use a child, someone with a questionable past, or anyone he can choose to spread the gospel? What would you consider prerequisites, minimum qualifications, or common characteristics, traits of those who preach the gospel? Well, let me answer that question. God uses whoever he wants to. Is that clear? God uses whoever he wants to. In fact, as I said before, God can even use you. Believers, this is the insight. Believers of the Lord Jesus Christ continue to be divided in their opinion regarding the specific ministry roles God makes available to a woman. While society has begun to change its understanding of the roles of God has ordained for women, God has a role, has roles that he's ordained for women, there remains such debate on the subject despite the discussions on positions, titles, and roles. Most believers agree that the responsibility to proclaim the gospel belongs to all believers, both men and women. This has become less and less debated on our communities. Those who are aware of church history can easily recognize that many meaningful contributions of great Christian women in every generation. I used to remember when Sister Hollinger and my dad would do Sunday school lesson at our home at Star Quarter at Mount Sinai. Those when Sister Hollinger, Reverend Hollinger's wife, would do Sunday school, it was on fire, just like it was on fire when my father did it, or when Pastor Hollinger taught it. God uses whoever he wants, and he has been using women in the ministry for a long time. Don't get caught up on that. That's just another way the devil trying to distract you from hearing his word, that you're going to close your ears when certain people are speaking your word, especially when a female is doing it. All right, female Christian. Christians may never completely agree on some issues. Paul taught that all Jesus followers have unique value in the sight of God. Although they may differ in the ministry gift, they possess. God has not called believers to compare gifts among themselves, but to walk together in spiritual unity. The task of the church is not to debate whom God has called, but to help people grow in Christian discipleship, nurturing their gifts as they continue to grow in faith and impact the world. The church's additional duties lies in teaching the scripture and praying for the power and renewed vigor necessary to maintain the ministry to which God has called us. Let us begin with the commentary, Luke, the second chapter, verses 36 through 38. If you will, turn to your Bibles or with your Sunday school book. That's to Luke, the second chapter, 36 and 38 verse. We will be speaking from the King James Version. And here we go from the 36th verse. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. Quite a woman right there. Quite a woman. She was of great age. All right, and with her husband 7 years from her virginity. All right, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. Faithful as well. God's powerful, God's word. When God do anything, he do it in a way that will get notice, that will be eye-opening and powerful indeed, such as this lady. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. Man, great lady. God's good, ain't it? God can do anything. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Talking about a baby being born, Jesus Christ, God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, God's Son. Oh, man. In both the Old and New Testaments, women are endowed by God with prophetic anointing. Biblical prophets spoke powerful proclamation from God. Those who have prophesied future events spoke with complete accuracy. Luke wrote that Anna had lived with her husband for 7 years before he died. Just to introduce some contextual perspective, if she were married at the age of 12, and after 7 years of marriage and widowed for 84 years, she would have been 103 years old at Jesus' birth. Is it also possible that Anna was 84, but most interpreters the text to say that she was widowed for 84 years? Whatever Anna's age, the writer seemed to compare the longevity of her faithful devotion and dedication to God. That is the outstanding element there, her faithfulness and dedication to God and how she lived her life in that dedication to God. The depth of Anna's faith is shown by her confidence that the infant Jesus was the promised Messiah and hope of spiritual redemption for the people of God. With this confidence, she began to proclaim that Jesus was the redemption sought by the people. That's in verse 38. Without the support of a husband, widowed women in biblical times were often impoverished and forced to rely on the goodwill and financial support of families and others, but were ultimately dependent on God. Ultimately dependent on God. How do you react when you finally receive a long-awaited answer to a prayer? How do you act? Anna waited for many years looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. Suggest ways you can imitate Anna's patience, devotion, and faith. How about that? Patience and faith. That is a rare commodity nowadays. A lot of us cannot wait for anything. We are so impatient. We are so impatient. All right, let's go to the commentary on Acts, the second chapter, 16 through 21st verse. Again, we just want to be King James verses. We will give you time to turn to it. If you have your Sunday school book in front of you, or you can take the time to find it in your Bible. Acts, the second chapter, 16 through 21st verse. All right, here we go. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. In the latter days, believe me, these are the last days. And on my servant and then on my maids, handmaids, and I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall show wonders in heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall turn into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable days of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's word for God's people. Now this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days now, God say, that I will pour out my spirit on all people. Not just some, but all. That include women. Clearly, clearly, clearly spoken. Your sons and your daughters, women, girls, will prophesy. Young men will see visions, and your older men will dream dreams. How clear can God's word be about a woman speaking and preaching and teaching God's word? Peter declared that with the coming of the Spirit, God would anoint the young and old, male and female. Male and female. Don't misinterpret it. It is clear. He stood in the midst of the crowd and made a bold proclamation concerning the life and ministry of Jesus and the arrival of the Holy Spirit, quoting Joel, the second chapter, 28 through the 32nd verse, which foretold the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the church age. The phrase last days, verse 17, is not included in Joel's passage, but was added by Peter through divine inspiration to declare the present fulfillment of Joel's ancient prophecy. In the Old Testament, the phrase was designed for the messianic area of the kingdom of God. See Isaiah, the second chapter, in the second verse. Hosea, the third chapter, in the fifth verse. Peter declared that God had made the same Jesus whom the Jews crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Acts, the second chapter, in the 36th verse, the New IV Vision version, and called his listeners to repentance and salvation through faith in his name. Joel's prophecy foretold the truth of God's redemptive work through Christ Jesus, the Messiah. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost ushered in God's salvation to Jews, Gentiles, alike, among anyone who would call on the name of the Lord by faith to be saved. By faith to be saved. What is faith? What is faith? You can't please God without it. Faith. Do you know what faith is? Okay. Do you take advantage of opportunities to share your faith or experience concerning Jesus to those you meet? Why or why not? A call to you. You know what you're doing. Are you taking that opportunity to share your faith or experience concerning Jesus? Young adult question. There were sometimes differences about those who had experienced God's presence in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Are you living in such a way that others can see God's spirit in you? Can others see God's spirit in you? Can others see God's spirit in you? Can they see it? Okay, let's go to our last outline. This is commentary on Acts, the 21st chapter, verses 8 through 9. you have your Sunday school books or your Bible, we'll give you time to turn to Acts, the 21st chapter, verses 8 through 9. And it reads, King James Version, "And the next day there were that were of Paul's company departed, came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him, and the same man and four daughters virgin, which did prophesy." Look at that ninth verse. "And the same man had four daughters, women, all virgins, which did prophesy." God can do anything that he wants to with anybody that he wants to do it with. Let that rest from this day forward. January the 31st, 2021, in a Sunday school lesson from Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, that God can use anybody that he wants, and that includes women. Do we need to repeat that? I surely hope not. "And that the same man had four daughters." Daughters are women. "And virgins as well, which did prophesy." Okay. He had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. All right, the last outline. Arriving at Caesarea, the Apostle Paul and those with him were hosted by Philip, who had gained a reputation as an evangelist. Philip was one of the first seven disciples chosen as deacons to supervise the ministry to the widows of the early church. See Acts 6 and 3. You know what happened there, right? Why they arise. Some were complaining that their women weren't getting this and weren't getting that. All right. He ministered to in Samaria to an Ethiopian eunuch, and in the coastal plain, see Acts the eighth chapter, in the fifth verse, 26 and 40th verse. According to the text, Philip was a Greek-speaking Jew. The last reference to him relates to his presence in Caesarea, where he apparently made his permanent home. See Acts the 8th chapter and the 40th verse. While Philip was known as an evangelist, the distinction of the evangelist in the text could also be identified to distinguish him as a different person than Philip the apostle. He is the only named evangelist in the New Testament. See 2 Timothy 4th and 5th verse. Notably, Philip's four unmarried daughters were empowered by the Spirit with the gift of prophecy and dedicated to the works of the Lord. See 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, and the 8th verse. Let's take a little bit of water to clear our throat. Thank you. All right. Philip's four unmarried daughters were empowered by the Spirit with the gift of prophecy dedicated to the works of the Lord. See 1 Corinthians 7th chapter and the 8th verse. Their mention in the scripture is not to be regarded lightly. Their mention in the scripture is not to be regarded lightly. They stand among the biblical prophetess Miriam. See Exodus, the 15th chapter and the 21st. Deborah, see Judges 4 and 4. Noadiah, see Nehemiah, the 6th chapter and 14. And Huldah, see 2 Kings, the 22nd chapter and 14th verse. Proving that through the ages, God has used both men and women to declare himself to the world. And finally, a question for you. How can we better engage the word world for Christians, utilizing everyone God has called and anointed. The presence of prophesying women is seen in the Old and New Testament. What can the contemporary church do to support and encourage women to live out their calling in Christ? Oh, so powerful. Is it been put to rest? I say it has, through God's word. Through God's word. All right. Let us go to our next week's lesson. Reminder, next week's lesson topic will be Sunday, February the 7th, 2021. Is no insignificant witnesses. No insignificant witnesses. The devotion reading is John, the first chapter, 37 through 50 verse. The background scripture, John, the first chapter, verse 37 through 51. The fourth chapter, verses 25 through 42. And the printed text is John, the fourth chapter, 25th to the 42nd verse. And do not forget the home daily readings, which is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That's Monday, February the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and Sunday the 7th. All right, our closing prayer. Lord, help us to be prayerful and encouraging of all whom you have called to the ministry of the word. We open our hearts and minds, setting aside any cultural biases or tradition that hinder us from hearing you. We acknowledge your sovereign authority to choose and use whom you will for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On behalf of all of us here at Antioch Baptist Church, Reverend Oliver, our First Lady, our clerk, the deacons, and ushers of Antioch, as we continue to toil, first Sunday, second Sunday, third Sunday, fourth Sunday, fifth Sundays, we're bringing you the word as God sees fit to bring it. And don't forget to join us this morning at 8:30 for the service in the parking lot with Pastor Oliver bringing the message. Until next time, God bless you and keep safe and follow God's instructions and his will and his word. And finally, put to rest the question about whether or not God can use a woman in his ministry. Yes, God can. And yes, God do. And yes, God has used women. And yes, God will continue to use women in his ministry. Y'all take care now. God bless you.